The Onyx, written by Jacqueline Briskin and read by Jenny Wren Walker.
For Bert. Prologue. This was not a funeral. The funeral, like all rites of the Bridger family, had been private. Now crowds lined the streets, and the indelible flash of news cameras captured the slow procession of swallow limousines, followed by onyxes that became smaller and more snub-nosed, a model from each year backward in time. The afternoon of March 12, 1947, held respectfully still. Sparse snowflakes halted in the beam of headlights. The smoke from Onyx Main's 8 monolithic power plant stacks neither drifted nor faded, but coiled immobile above the Detroit River. The flags of 16 nations hung soddenly at half-mast in front of the Onyx World Headquarters building. Here, the crowd was thickest, pressing on the sidewalks, jamming the overpass. Everyone wore a black armband. The first limousine, empty, adorned with black satin rosettes, slid by. Men removed their hats or caps.
"The wrong Bridger's gone," a drill press operator said.
"Nah," responded his neighbor. "We'd soon be out of a job if it was the old man. A bastard. That's what keeps things moving. Onyx needs a genuine bastard like the old man."
Wind gusted briefly, swirling snow, dipping the smoke into 100 tattered gray lace veils, hurling the wisps toward a staff sergeant. The taut-faced young man gave a smile, and the salute he snapped toward the empty limousine was a parody of respect for the dead. Sergeant Ben Hutchinson had spent his 8th year in Detroit, and certain incidents clung to the corners of his mind, not wholly remembered, never completely forgotten, now inextricably mingled with the horrors he had witnessed at the liberation of Buchenwald. People were craning to see the flagged official cars that bore President Harry Truman, Governor Kim Sigler, the mayor, Senator Arthur Vanderberg. But Ben turned, shoving his way to Archibald Avenue, which was empty. As he tramped in the direction of the river, his thick GI boots cut through freshly fallen snow to reveal the ugly brown slush below. From time to time he halted, gazing through wire mesh at gigantic glass-walled machine shops linked by conveyors, a triple-decker flat car laden with new sedans, conical mountains of coal and limestone and silica rising along the wharves, the enormous rolling shed and foundry. This was the world's largest industrial complex, the incomparable mother of mass production, whose womb spewed forth a car every 2 minutes. After perhaps an hour and a half, Ben started back toward Jefferson Avenue. The parade was over, traffic back to normal, the crowd dispersed. Late for his appointment, he trotted the mile of empty sidewalk in front of the administrative offices, jogging up the red brick steps of a handsome new colonial building with Onyx Museum carved into the gray-blue marble above the fanlight. A wooden sign, closed, barred the doors. He pushed both. The left yielded to him. Taking off his cap and overcoat, he flung them, a wet khaki heap, across the admission desk. The thin wintry light seeping through the glass dome proved the rotunda empty. It was a moment before Ben glanced toward the dark, cavernous halls. Here at the head, in a place of honor, was a single exhibit. An odd little dragonfly of a contraption with 4 fragile bicycle wheels supporting the mechanical thorax. On its narrow seat, a man hunched over the steering tiller. His face was slack with grief, yet even in this bad light, the angular length, the thick, glossy white hair, the mouth pulled into a permanent sardonic slant were familiar. Ben had seen that face in 1,000 newspaper photographs, encyclopedia illustrations, the march of time, scurrilous cartoons.